Porty took a pull from his canteen, filled with fresh water from Toobaldum's well.
Steady on, I like Toobum, bub. Bit unkind to talk about the old chap like that, what?
Springald agreed with him.
I think so too. They've only got each other for company, and they shared what little they have. Why shouldn't we believe what Toobaldum said?
The otter cast a wry glance at his old friend.
That dormouse is a hermit. He likes being alone. As for not having much in the way of victuals, tell him, Sorrow.
The ageing squiddle explained.
When I was swilling Horty's ear out, I watched Toobaldum going to fetch that special ointment. Ha! The old fogey didn't think I could see him. He went into a corner and lifted a floorstone. Do you know what was underneath it? A cellar, packed from wall to wall with victuals. Drinks, dried fruits, vegetables, nuts, enough to feed an army for 10 seasons. That's how short of food Mr. Toobaldum was, mates. Bragg saw it too.
Horty stopped in his tracks.
Well, the flaming old fraud, wolfing down all our grub and telling whopping fibs about having none himself. What a blinking cheek.
Fenner could hardly believe what she had heard.
That's a shameful thing to do. The old liar.
Springall was about to add to the condemnation of Toodledum when the otter cut in.
Don't be too hard on the old fella. Victuals and drink is precious in this region. If you've got none, you're a dead beast. Toobaldum was only thinking of himself and little Bubbub. We were just passing visitors. Now that we've gone, he's got to provide for himself and his mate. 'Tis called survival. You don't go dashing to the first beast you see and offering them a cellar full of grub. You takes care of your own first.
Fenner held up a paws.
All right, we understand. Toobaldum's only doing what's best for himself and Bubbub. Please don't rub it in by telling us we're only young and we'll learn.
Sorrow winked knowingly at her.
Wouldn't dream of it, young'un.
A raven flew out of the great gorge. Soaring high, it hovered on the evening thermals, a dark, sinister shape, framed against the setting sun for a brief moment. Then it swept off southward. Down below, standing at one of the 3 cave entrances, a cloaked figure watched the bird's departure, then turned and went into the tunnel. Pushing through the mass of dark creatures, the cloaked one made its way to where the sulphurous flame burned constantly, a tall column of fire giving off its acrid stench. Caran Jewel, the great Weirat Slayer, stood waiting for the news his guard captain brought. The cloaked creature lay flat on the rocky floor and lifted its face.
It is as ye said, mighty lord. The travellers are even now returning to sully thy abyss with their presence.
Caran Jewel's hideous face stared impassively down at the captain.
Did Corvusa say when they would arrive in my domain?
The speaker lowered his eyes from the Weirat's piercing gaze.
The bird said that they would reach the gorge rim in the 2nd hour of darkness, great slayer.
Caran Jewel's trident pointed at the messenger.
Take a score of my creatures across to the other side of the long tree. Hide there and await my signal.
Accompanied by 20 spear-bearers, the captain marched out, prepared to cross the tree trunk that spanned the forbidding drop. The Weirat's harsh voice grated out, echoing around the cavern.
None of the trespassers must be slain. They are to be taken alive, to die at my pleasure.
The dark masses rose, spear blades glinting as they chanted.
Blood of the Weirat runs in thy veins, O mighty Caran Jewel, ruler of the abyss, lord of life and death.